are listening to Hillary Topper On Air, the small business podcast to help you grow both personally and professionally. And now, here's your host, Hillary Topper.
In the face of profound loss, finding the strength to move forward can seem insurmountable. I'm Hillary Topper, and welcome to Hillary Topper On Air. Today, I have the great pleasure of speaking with author Sheila Clemonson, who has recently penned the inspiring book, Over the Rainbow, From the Depths of Grief to Hope. Sheila, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me today. It is great to be here, Hillary.
So let's dive right in and tell me a little bit about Over the Rainbow. It's described as a heartfelt love letter and an encountering discussion on navigating grief to hope. Can you share with our listeners what inspired you to write this book?
Yes. The inspiration came from my own personal experience. I was 26 years old when I found out my fiance was diagnosed with ALS. He was 32. We had just bought a house. We just got engaged and we were planning a wedding. And this came from out of nowhere. Really, it was like the rug was just ripped out from under us. At such a young age, also, to be faced with hearing that you have a working diagnosis of either ALS or MS, and the only way that you're going to find out is by showing more symptoms. This was the journey that Grant and I took together. I married him knowing that he was diagnosed with ALS, and I could not have known exactly what I would be getting myself into, of course, which he reminded me at different points throughout that journey. He would say, you know, I think you bit off a little more than you could chew. And I'd say, yes, but I'm here and I'm committed to doing this with you. But I think that, you know, intellectually you can understand something, but you really don't understand something until you're experiencing it. And so I made the commitment to go through this journey with him, which was 4.5 years. It was bittersweet. We phased out of professional lives. He had a career in international sales. I was in human resources. And we took an early retirement to Kauai. And we walked that journey in one of the most beautiful places on earth. And, you know, the anticipatory grief that you go through, the experience as a caregiver, and then after your loved one dies and the grief and loss and how you're trying to rebuild your life thereafter, losing your identity and being a caregiver. I felt alone so much going through everything that I was going through that what inspired me is writing a book to help connect with other people who might feel alone in their own experiences.
That's wonderful. So talk a little bit about your book as it serves as a guide for those others that you talk about who are facing grief.
My book is, it's raw and vulnerable. That's the feedback that I have received. And I couldn't do it any other way in terms of writing a heartfelt, meaningful grief book. I wanted to share a very real perspective of going through this journey. One that isn't wistful, like you're looking at a Hallmark Channel show, right? I mean, it really is the hard and difficult parts of this. However, the book does have humor. I do carefully do a dance with my own coaching, you know, taking people down into the grief pit and back out. So it is a personal experience for people to connect with. But it's also has very real life things that I did to support myself through the journey In addition to hindsight being 2020, maybe what I didn't do then that I wish I would have done at that time if I would have known more. And so, including self-reflection, including stories that I think are very meaningful in connecting with people, grief brain is real, as well as stupid things people say to you when you're grieving. I mean, I include very practical things and experiences that most people will go through at some point, and at least it gives people, I think, a connection to not being the only one, and that whatever you're experiencing is okay, that you're normal, and that you're really trying to trailblaze a wilderness that you've never been in before and trying to do the best that you can. So.
Totally. I mean, it's horrible and it's just really difficult to kind of get through that. But as you alluded, you said that you have some, personal anecdotes, exercises, advice. Can you highlight one in particular that maybe might help our listeners out there
Yeah.
if they're dealing with grief?
I think the biggest one, and it's the one that a lot of people don't do well, especially if you're a people pleaser and you're trying to make everybody else happy or take care of everybody else because you're a caregiver. It's radical self-care and resourcing. And I talk about what this might look like for people. And it might look different for different people, but this is from a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual place. In some cases, this can be the boundaries that you set up for yourself, who you're going to bring into your inner bubble, who you're going to, block out. This can also be, what are you doing for self-care? If you're feeling kind of out of your body, which most people do when they're grieving or they're caregiving, how do you get yourself back into your body? And I say that's, getting your feet in the ground, getting out in nature, getting yourself in a place where you can feel more grounded within your body and yourself as well. Because a lot of the time with grief brain, you really feel like you have some weird form of dementia and that you keep forgetting things and you don't know where you are. And you know it when you have been there. And if you haven't been there, you will. It's a very scary place to be when you're forgetting things like leaving your purse in a refrigerator when you're emptying the groceries, or you're putting your Starbucks cup on the top of your car and driving away almost every time that you're going there to get one, So I think that it's just important that that self-care piece be something that you really make time for yourself and whatever that looks like. And people can feel selfish in that place, setting aside some of those boundaries or doing what they need to do, but it's also essential for them to heal and to move forward.
Let me ask you something. So, how long did it take you to be able to move on?
Well, that is just something that everybody wants to know, right? Because
Yeah.
so many people who are grieving, they just say, I don't want to sit in this place anymore. I need to move forward. And I say move forward versus moving on because sometimes people have a negative connotation with moving on. That's like they're leaving their loved one behind. But I want to say that that grief aspect too, Hillary, is grief we might experience before people even die, or relationships that are estranged, or different kinds of things like that, right? So it's just really moving forward, and how long it took me. I want to say that it was such a journey, and the grief pit is what I describe as some days I would feel very good. I would be out of the grief pit. I'd be happy. I'd be dating. I'd be doing my thing. And then I would fall back in. And so it's a journey, not a destination.
Yeah.
And I would say that wherever someone is, it's normal, because sometimes it takes people a much longer time. I would say that I was sitting in the grief pit pretty deeply for about 3 years, even after Grant died. And then finding my way forward with success at times. And then in the whole relationship arena was where I really had a lot of my issues. I also wasn't my own best friend. I was abusing alcohol. I drank a lot after Grant died. I was numbing myself in ways that maybe were not as healthy, which I also think is somewhat normal. And I think that sometimes when you're doing some of those things, you actually inhibit processing your grief in a more healthy way and getting the support that you need to be in a more healthy place working through your grief. And I really do think you have to actively work through your grief. So I say if you're actively working through your grief, you're going to move through it more successfully and move forward and on in a better way than if you're not really thinking about it and you're just reacting.
Great, thank you for sharing that. Before we move on, I just have to say that I am so appreciative of our sponsors and must take the time out to thank them. Please support our sponsors and tell them that you heard about them on Hillary Topper on Air. Special thanks to the Russo Law Group, Long Island Signature Estate Planning, Elder Law and Special Needs Law Firm, and Buddha Bath, a natural bath and body care company that offers a wide variety of products, including body butter, bath bombs, soap bars, and sugar scrubs. For some reason, I just pull up that every time.
Well, I want to say that those are a part of the self-care that people need to bring in as
Seriously,
well.
I'm telling you, that Buddha Bath stuff is best.
It sounds amazing.
It is. Anyway, back to you, Sheila. So now you have some upcoming author events. Can you share a little bit about them and what attendees can expect and what they can hope to take away from these events?
Yeah, the first thing is that I work hard to create a safe space for people coming to my events. It's important for people to know that you can talk about grief and it doesn't have to make you cry. So I think that it's important for people to know that the conversation and the experience that I share of the book is thought-provoking. I think that I answer some questions that people who haven't read the book might be curious about, like how did you get to Hawaii and different kinds of things. So I love showing some pictures as well because pictures speak a thousand or more words in the experience that we had there, but also how we created Kauai as a healing place, which was very nurturing for us to move through this experience. So I open it up to some dialogue and people asking questions. And I have found that in the book presentation, I'm attracting people who are very curious and who need some additional support, who are walking these different journeys. And I've been able to give them some really great insights as well as some possible things for them to do to support themselves moving through whatever part of that journey they're at right now. I also share some things from the book, some funny stories, some thought-provoking things that will help them wherever they might be. And I just say that we're all grievers, Hillary, either past, present, or future. We're all going to be there at some place in time if we love big, because loss is a part of that.
Absolutely. That is so true. So, in addition to your book, you also have a companion journal, which is guided meditations and a playlist as additional healing modalities. Can you briefly explain how these resources complement the overall message of Over the Rainbow?
Yes, and the message of Over the Rainbow really is hope. When my book designer was designing my cover, she said, "What do you want people to see when they see your book?" And I said, "I want them to see hope because you need that in order to move forward." And so, the companion journal is an extension of that. It's giving people some action-oriented exercises to do that help them help themselves move forward. I often find that people want to do something to move forward through that grief. They just don't want to sit in it. And I believe that helping people do some of these exercises gives them a focus on what they need to be looking at, how they can be moving forward. Whether it's writing and writing about certain thoughts and feelings and experiences, this is a journal that people can bring to their therapist, their grief support group. They can bring that to share some of their experiences. In addition, it does give people some very thoughtful and thought-provoking things to do to take care of themselves, as well as helping them rebuild their lives moving forward, which is really important.
It is. Just taking a step back, as a certified career coach and HR consultant, how do you address the intersection of grief and professional challenges in your book? And what advice do you have for individuals navigating loss in the workplace?
That's a lot. It's a lot. When I was writing my book, I actually thought, I was inspired to write this book even 20 years ago. And I kind of sat with it and I said, okay, why am I not writing the career coaching book? Why am I writing the grief book? Well, it's because it's really needed. Not that the career coaching isn't, but what I found was I was attracting a lot of clients who were dealing with significant losses, who would come in and tell me, "Sheila, I don't need you. You're not a therapist. I don't need you to be my therapist. I need you to help me figure out how I'm moving forward in my life. I can't do this job anymore. I need to find something else." It was all about purposeful and meaningful work. At a certain point, when you've been through loss, you can't always do the same thing you've been doing the same way anymore. What I find in our work worlds, being in HR for over 20 plus years, there is not a lot of support with regard to handling loss within the work world. People get a bereavement leave. Sometimes that leave is 2 to 4 days. Maybe they'll let you leave for a week if you have to travel out of town, right? If you're lucky, you have an employee assistance program, and that would I would highly recommend that you take advantage of if you have an EAP in your workplace that you can get some additional support. I find that more often than not, it's the managers and the support team that you're working with that are going to be the best source of support for you. And I encourage you to share whatever you feel comfortable in sharing to help people help you be more supported. If you can delegate some things, if your manager can help you move some things around so that you don't have to sit there in the grief mat with the grief mask 24/7 in your work life. However, on the other side of it, some people like to compartmentalize, and it does serve them well to have those hours and those functions that they're doing, and they don't have to think about being in grief, right? It can be a kind of escape as well. I just think we have so much work to do from a company perspective in terms of supporting people through being sandwich generation. They're taking care of aging parents and they're taking care of kids. To helping people, through cancer diagnostic treatments, different kinds of things. From an HR perspective, there are family medical leaves. And so there might be some ways that you can connect with your HR department and they can help you navigate some of those things. I did work with a lot of people through COVID who were seriously taking mental health leaves. And they were taking leaves of absence and they were not going to go back to their jobs because they were so burned out. So I do want to say, COVID has come in and completely changed the way that we do work. What I love about that is in the remote work world, you can take a break and you can go to the bathroom and cry. And maybe somebody won't notice, but I just think that there's so many different ways that we need to support people. And from a career coaching perspective, that's what I help people do as well.
How do you deal with anger? Because that comes up a lot during grief, right? And I think that people feel, again, like they're all alone and nobody else can relate to them because they haven't shared the same experience.
Yes. Anger is important. It's important for people to own their anger. It's also important to be thoughtful about not taking that anger out on other people, right? Although that's difficult when you're grieving and you're hurting and you're in pain. But anger is a part of that grief process. And if you try to not make it a part of that process, it's going to seep in other ways, whether that's passive aggressiveness or whatever other way that it's going to come in. So I just say, getting some support with a grief therapist or a therapist is really important in working out those really difficult emotions.
This has been so enlightening. Thank you so much. Can you tell our listeners how they can order Over the Rainbow and get in touch with you?
Yes, you can order it on Amazon, and the companion journal will be coming soon. But at this time, you can download that on SheilaClemenson.com. You can also order the book from there. The Amazon links are there as well. You can request and order a personalized copy if you would like that. The companion journal is downloadable if you give your email address, and we're giving the first three chapters at no charge right now as a promotion. And so I just say I love for people to download that and just start working on it and to give me some feedback so that I can implement anything that I'm not thinking of that I need some insight about before getting it published.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This has been a great interview. I can't believe how fast it went. I want to thank you, Sheila, so much for being on the show and enlightening my listeners. I also want to thank our sponsors once more, the Russo Law Group, Long Island Signature, Estate Planning, Elder Law, and Special Needs Law Firm. For additional information, visit bjrussolaw.com. And Huda Bath, a natural bath and body care company. For more information, visit hudabath.net. And last but not least, I want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. If you want more information on this show or any other show, visit us on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Amazon Alexa, you name it, we're out there. Have a great week and we'll see you next time.